100% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happy hour, rolling on with a new fine guest live via Zoom, former U.S. attorney, current friend, I hope, of the Devil's. It's James Santel. Jim, welcome back to the big show.
Hey, Jim.
Mike, Don, good to be with you once again on a beautiful Friday afternoon.
Well, it's not Friday, Jim.
And that's right. Whatever day it is, it's Wednesday, isn't it?
We normally only have you around on Fridays, Jim.
That's right.
It's kind of Friday Eve for me, Jim. I'm off this Friday, so I'm with you, man. I'm somewhere else.
You know, I was going to invite you by on Friday in Dom's absence, but he selfishly went and invited you today.
And now I'm committed to today and Friday, apparently. All of that.
Well, more importantly than Friday, Jim, you're committed to launching a big show starting Saturday morning right here on the network.
What?
9 to 11 a.m. James Santel. I'll see if I can say your name. I've been struggling with names, Jim. Don't take it personal. But have we decided what we're calling the big show yet, Jim?
We have not yet. I think we're still in creative development, Mike, and all the folks in the production unit and the broad staff and extensive personnel that you have are working on that feverishly and figuring out packaging and all those other important things. But very much looking forward and should be a good opportunity to follow up on many good conversations we have during the week.
Jim, did I mention I was hopeful to have you broadcast from the farmer's market in Waukesha on Saturday?
We can be there with the produce. We can be there with the garden supplies, whatever we need to do. The conversation is always good.
Well, in this case, you're going to be there with me, so I guess nothing but jackasses. Our fine guest, Jim Santel, never a jackass, although, he does appear on an occasional lefty talk show. Jim, got to ask you about the big case everybody's talking about. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Oh, no, God, kill me now.
I've never seen a defamation case, two people suing each other and basically wrecking each other's reputation very publicly here, all for vengeful spite, apparently, Jim, but setting aside their personal motivations. Depp sued Heard for $50 million. She countersued him for $100 million. And after arriving at the conclusion that Depp was apparently more right legally, the jury got sent back to put a price tag on it. And Jim, I'm seeing something to the tune of like $15 million. But then Depp also lost and has to pay her like $2 million. So do they do a net-net or are they both going to get filed with tax liens?
There's a lot of math going on here about which lawyers are very bad, including me. But you've got, right, basically, we've got a big award for Johnny Depp, a smaller award for Amber. There are a couple of things that are going on here. One is there's some statutory limits on punitive damages, so that actually reduces the jury's verdict here somewhat. And then you do some math. And so I think the accurate way to look at this is Johnny Depp is going to get about $8,350,000 coming his way. And when you after the offsets from Amber Heard, and so plainly a win for him, but not unadulterated, plainly, but just because she also has this verdict that says as to one representation made by Depp's attorney about something about one of the events in their relationship, she too was defamed. And so, as you indicated, this is not exactly the paradigmatic civics example for America, but this is what our courts do from time to time, entertains America. And from my perspective, thank goodness this is done, although probably there will be some appeal, so maybe it's not done after all.
Well, Jim, most of the defamation cases I'm familiar with are really targeting Fox News and Mike Lindell of late. Jim, have you seen a defamation case play out like this? And are there any tea leaves to read in future rulings in defamation cases, let's say against Fox News or Mike Lindell?
Yeah, these are always tough cases. We've talked about this before to get a little bit more legal and not just arithmetic this afternoon. We've talked about the New York Times versus Sullivan. It basically says that if you're a player, complaining Johnny Depp is and Mr. Pillow Man is and others in the public domain, all those folks are public figures. You really have to show actual malice. And yes, you have to sit down and say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I know it's wrong. I'm going to publish something about Jim Santel, about Mike Crute. And I know it's wrong. I'm going to do it out of malice. I'm going to do it to get them. And so, for example, you may recall the lawsuit brought by a former vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin, against the New York Times. That was unsuccessful. Why? Because even though the New York Times erred in making some representations about what she had done and said, there was no showing of actual malice. That's the only reason why I would say from today's verdict, this is significant, because the jury expressly found that in its very, very long special verdict, that there was actual malice here, that Amber Bird, Amber Heard did in fact sit down and with the intent and purpose to defame Johnny Depp did so, probably a little bit in the other direction as well. But that's a significant finding. That's a tough thing to prove. And that's why most of these cases are not successful when it comes to filing lawsuits, alleging defamation against public figures, people in the public domain. New York Times versus Sullivan is a really high burden to overcome.
I think Dom has a question.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us via the Zoom. Jim, always a pleasure, man. I think these kinds of cases make other countries hate America. You know what I mean? You got to be kidding me.
Who's left that doesn't hate America at this late hour?
Who cares? And I get the entertainment value thing of it, I guess. And in some ways, I think maybe they're both using the courts to revive each other's careers. I knew who Johnny Depp was. I didn't know who Heard was. Whatever. But people are engaged with this, Jim. And I guess my question is, do you think the level of engagement with this particular trial is going to be matched with the J6 committee's presentation of their findings?
Right. You certainly would hope that America, after perhaps being entertained in what I would describe, I think you're absolutely right. This is silliness. This is adult human beings throwing mud at each other and doing it in the public domain. It is disappointing, I would offer, that many of the major news cable stations are covering this, maybe not gavel to gavel, but close to it. You would like to think that America would turn to something more serious, including, for example, the fact that we've got a terrible, horrific war going on overseas. We plainly have many, many challenges here in America as well, including mass shootings that don't seem to stop, children, others being killed. And yes, next week we're going to be having something hopefully not akin to the Heard Depp trial, but this very, very important public. We haven't seen this in a number of months now, a public proceeding by the House committee beginning to present some of its findings. And that's where the real story should be here. Lots of activity there coming out of the House committee. And America should tune into that and really put Johnny Depp and Amber Heard to bed now. Not literally, but emotionally and intellectually as well. What's coming up next week, much more important for the future of America.
Well, the prior testimony, the public testimony of, let's say, Mueller. We all were hopeful that Mueller was going to, you know, put the nail in Trump's coffin. Of course, it didn't play out that way. And it was not compelling in the way we would have hoped it would have been. To the broader American public. And I don't think Mueller changed anyone's mind. And effectively, Bill Barr had already set the narrative on the Mueller report, and Mueller sort of mumbling through his answers didn't really change the belief. I mean, hell, Trump's still claiming, you know, Russia hoax. Claims he's going to start suing the Pulitzer Prize people for awarding a Pulitzer on their reporting of the, you know, Russian collusion such. But Jim, you know, I guess there's many thoughts out there. And before you start, go ahead, because I got bored. I'm just going to pile thoughts on top. It's all just
absolutely. And I concur with all of that. That is, we do have a history here. It does give me an opportunity once again to invoke the Mueller report. All of us recognize that Bob Mueller, great public servant, did not turn back that narrative that Bill Barr and, frankly, the former president had advanced successfully. And to this day, people believe, of course, that there was nothing there. In fact, that isn't the case. We hope that the Democrats, frankly, that the chair and others on that committee, I don't want to say have learned a lesson, but understand that you need to prep your witnesses. You need to have a sense of narrative. You need to do some storytelling. That's what we talked about throughout the Mueller report. That is, tell the story. Don't get involved in the minutia. Tell the story to America what happened here. They plainly have spent a huge amount of time. We have got some very strong indications that there are some incredibly damning statements made by people who knew what was going on behind the scenes, including information provided by congressional staffers, but members of Congress. certainly members of the highest levels of government, you would hope that you would have testimony and presentations that reduce this, yes, to its fundamental core, but also at the same time, seize upon the significance of what you are hearing. That is that people, it wasn't just what we saw on January 6th, but it was also people planning this and orchestrating it at the highest levels.
Jim, I guess that was the point, and thanks for making it for me. I want to see a highly produced, evidence-based, quick-moving, visually, although I'd like to hear some of it audibly because we're playing it on the radio in real time. But Jim, I mean, I want Maverick, man. I want captivating television. What's your thought? Can the committee, which is not just Dems, can they deliver, and do you lead with Liz Cheney?
Right. And I think that is, you look at Liz Cheney, look at Adam Kinzinger, play them into a major role in questioning and presentation. I recall again, as do you, both of you, the very compelling testimony by those officers, the Capitol Police, which was the first hearing, that very, very compelling testimony by the one, all of them were compelling, but the one officer who talked about the slurs hurled in his direction, the physical abuse that they took that day. You would hope that something as dramatically attractive, and I don't mean that in a positive way, but something that pulls you in intellectually and commits you once again to this notion that something horrific almost happened in America. Our government was almost undermined. And as we're finding out even every single day with the release of this Eastman memorandum, all those kinds of things, the notion that playing the Department of Justice is also pursuing this, you have got people who were responsible at the highest levels of government for attempting to overthrow. And you've got to identify, and I'm sure that the chair will and others, who are those people? How do you tell this story? And especially spend some time in advance of that, doing what lawyers do. This is not a trial, but there should be no question asked, at least by the majority members, I guess they're all majority members, if you will, although we've got two members of the minority party there, that you don't know the answer to. And I'm not saying this should be scripted. I'm not saying this is theater, but it is a part of the presentation that America does need to see. It needs to be done well. I would turn to some of the lawyers who did a good job in the impeachment proceedings, but I would also ensure that those witnesses that are not compelling, that do not tell core stories here, do not need to be part of this next week and beyond.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us. Jim, okay, so back to the Mueller investigation. Because of the lack of the impeachment, right? And although I thought fairly compelling, but okay, we still don't know the redacted versions. We still don't know everything that we would probably want to know. Then Trump, you know, claims vindication, and then he says, "Hey, you know, this thing was started by the Hillary campaign just to undermine me during the press." So going back to 2016, well, this week we find out Michael Sussman, he's acquitted in the case brought by Durham. We got 2 minutes left in this segment, Jim. You know, Donald Trump's crying foul, as are all the Republicans. What's your take?
Right. And once again, the Sussman acquittal is significant. We knew on this very program from the start that this false claims charge brought by Durham was not only odd, but seemed paper thin. I think both of you indicated at the time that this seemed curious. This is not the kind of false statement case that you make. Usually it's about something material that misleads the listener, that misleads the investigator. Here you've got all kinds of reasons to believe that Sussman's representation about who he represented, which was the crux of the false statement, really didn't matter all that much. And thankfully, the jury saw this and saw that kind of, I interpret the verdict to mean, what are we doing here? Why is this the focus? Especially since the commission of John Durham was to find out about all the bad things that the FBI did. In this case and the next case also scheduled for trial, you've actually got the FBI in the position of being a victim, supposedly. People are coming in and providing bad information. That's not what this was about. And if this is the best that John Durham and the bar holdovers can do, once again, like all those pieces of litigation attacking, going after the big lie, there's no there. That should be the lesson from the Sussman acquittal as well.
It's lunacy, I think Trump said, the fact that, you know, apparently Sussman was acquitted. You know, due process. I think that's what they offer all Americans, but, you know, Republicans.
And now making money off of those representations, too,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Always. Money.
Come back. We're going to make a little money and then come back with more James Santel. He's the money maker.